This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Halftime in Knoxville, 34-27. Tennessee with the lead over Louisville. One of our games of the night, as a big one on the college hardwood right now. The Duke Blue Devils starting to pull away. They have pulled away, Matt. It's now a question of will they cover against the Lipscomb Bisons. 87-64, the score at the under four media timeout. They once upon a time trailed in this game early in the second half, but they have taken over this game.
You got to play 40 minutes, Tim. That is unlike the Patriots-Bills game when Dave Portnoy thought it was over after the first 15.
And we were feeling pretty good through 30 minutes last night of football that the under would come home.
Oh, you got to bring that up again. Come on.
I did get a question on Twitter. I will bring it to the table here in just a moment. But we got a guest on the line as he joins us each and every Tuesday. He always gives us some great insights. So let's get to it right now.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
The VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook is Jeff Sherman. You could follow him on Twitter at GolfOdds, and he joins us right now. And Jeff, only one game on the NBA card tonight, and it's in our backyard, T-Mobile Arena. It is the NBA Cup Championship, and it is not the Oklahoma City Thunder. It is not the Los Angeles Lakers, but the San Antonio Spurs, as they took care of business over the Lakers and Thunder in back-to-back games. They're a slight underdog tonight. Before we get into how this game has been bet, what are your personal opinions on San Antonio and New York tonight?
I think this game means a little bit more to the Spurs. I mean, the Knicks have title aspirations for the end of the season. So obviously they're going to, you know, go forth with the effort being the final game here. But a team like San Antonio, it still looks like they're a little bit away. I think this game has a little bit more meaning to these young guys. I took some three myself. I also, conversely, when it was announced Wemby is not starting, going to be on a minutes restriction, I did lay the Knicks minus a half in the first quarter.
All right. Jalen Brunson's been hot recently for the Knicks. Is this team for real? I mean, is this a team that can win the East?
Yeah, just because of how down the East is. Mm-hmm. They are the definite starting point. Right now for the East, they're less than 3-1 at most places. So there's been some movement there, especially the way the Cavaliers have been looking, because they're the ones that started out as the Eastern Conference favorites. They're really tripping up. They look like they're not taking the regular season seriously, especially after what happened last year where they were injured during the playoffs. They're just trying to get healthy to the end. I don't think they care about seeding. So right now the Knicks look like the one a clear-cut favorite in the East.
Jeff Sherman, Westgate Superbook, NBA odds maker with us. Jeff, you're a Lakers fan. Do the Lakers still have that banner hanging up in the arena for the NBA Cup Championship, the first ever one? Did they leave that banner up?
Oh, it's still there. Come on, you got to keep that there.
Did you hear Charles Barkley's comments about the NBA Cup being embarrassing to the league? And what are your thoughts about this whole tournament now? It was a novelty when it was new. I thought it was kind of cool. I think a lot of people now feel like it's run its course. What do you think?
Well, it has from one standpoint, but you also do see extra effort in these games. They're a little bit more meaningful where these teams, they're trying, and you're getting some players, if they're questionable, they're playing in them. So you're getting more than just a nonchalant regular season game during the season and a little bit of extra effort from the players. So I know the semifinals out here in Vegas, really competitive. I mean, the players were going all out, and it was really hard-fought games for those two.
NBA Cup Championship night in Vegas. Well, how about the wagering handle? This would be just another regular season game tonight. Are you getting more betting action on this because it is the NBA Cup Championship?
It's equivalent to a good regular season game. Nothing stand out like a championship game would be, but you know, we're also dealing a 10-cent spread on that 2.5 minus 105 each way. But we've been taking more Knicks money on the spread and more Spurs money on the money line. Over money too, that opened 228 up to 234, so a considerable move there. And after what we saw in the first couple games in Vegas, I can see that.
So you mentioned this is being bet like a good regular season game. Same answer for Saturday night with Thunder and Spurs in that second game of the doubleheader here in Vegas?
Yeah, it was about equivalent to what this one is. So, I mean, that one had a lot of interest on a weekend on a Saturday night, you know, and more so, like, you would expect that to have less than what tonight would have, but they're right on par.
Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management, Westgate Superbook, joins us every Tuesday here on the program. We talk some NBA with Jeff. Certainly we'll get into golf as we get closer to some tournaments starting up. But we got week 16 of the NFL starting on Thursday night, and it's a really good one as we have the Seahawks and the Rams. How has this game been bet so far, and what are your expectations from a handle standpoint come Thursday night?
I think this will be the most wagered Thursday night game we've seen all season. You couldn't ask a much better matchup, especially considering what's at stake, where, you know, you could have the division winner and one team, you know, falling in the position where they're going to have to have a much tougher path in the playoffs. So really big game against two top teams. We opened Rams -1. Sharp money took Seattle down to pick 'em. You know, the one thing that we've been having trouble with, you know, they keep saying about Devontae Adams' questionability for this. I love how they lie about it. He's not going to play with that hamstring injury.
He's not playing. So,
I mean, yeah, it's funny how they just say wait and see for game time when, I mean, come on, that type of injury. So don't expect to see him on the field as far as props go. And, you know, it's other than that, it's going to be a very well-wagered game.
Thursday night, fight for the number one seed in the NFC, Rams at Seattle. Westgate at a pick'em on that. Also at pick'em on Bears. Hosting the Packers on Saturday night. So Green Bay, Chicago, part two. Jeff, I'm seeing 1.5. Packers 1.5 out there at DraftKings, some other spots. You have pick 'em at the Westgate. Did you take a decent bet on the Bears?
It's been steady, sharp play on Chicago. Yeah. We had this Green Bay 3 when we opened it, and we today took +1 on the Bears from a respected player. And I think people are looking to fade Green Bay with Micah Parsons injured. The defense letting up a little bit from that perspective, and the Bears just keep playing well. So far it's been one-way traffic on Chicago.
Jeff, looking ahead to Sunday, we just talked briefly about what we saw from Pittsburgh on Monday night. Impressive performance. Maybe that partly had to do with the opponent that they played, but regardless, they get Detroit on the road. You guys are at Detroit laying 7. What have you guys seen from this game so far, Pittsburgh at Detroit?
So far, it's been all money line parlays and teasers on the Lions, with a very big game for them needing to win. That's what we've seen. Nothing much on the spread. We reposted it 7, and it hasn't been too much at that point. But it's been all teasers and money line parlays on Detroit so far.
How about the Sunday night game, Patriots-Ravens, 2.5 or 3. Looks like that number is going to pinball back and forth at most books this week. How do you think the Patriots bounce back, if they do, from blowing the big lead to the Bills?
Yeah, we did open Baltimore 2.5 and took some sharp play immediately on Baltimore to get us to 3 even on that one. You know, and the Ravens have been a tough team. You know, one week they look good and one week they don't. So, you know, I would expect to get a great effort from the Patriots here, because if they lose, the Bills win, they're tied up. And it's going to be tough for them division and you know, expand their path too. So a big game for both teams here. But, you know, I think ultimately 3 flat will get taken. I'd be surprised if it goes to like 3-20 on that way. I think there's going to be some Patriots support late.
Quick update on the Lipscomb-Duke game. Tim, Duke just missed a 3-pointer from the corner, and it looked like Lipscomb is going to cover.
There we go. Right? At least the Bisons got home at the cover, 97-73.
Bison hit a 3. It's a 24-point game, and it's going to be a dribble out, and that's the final, 97-73. Jeff, how about Monday night, 49ers? And Colts, and Colts obviously home dogs here. What did you think of Phillip Rivers in his performance in Seattle, and what do you expect in terms of betting for that game on Monday night?
Well, I expect this more of the same out of him, just game management, short passes, running the ball, not trying not to make mistakes. And he did very well doing that in that game, kept them in the game. They had a chance to win it against, you know, obviously an excellent Seattle team. Now, game number 2, where teams have film on what he did, I would expect this number to climb. We opened 5.5. We're at 6, some 6.5 showing. So I would expect it to get closer to 7. I don't think there'll be that public trust in Rivers quite yet. But It'll be very well bet just because of the Rivers factor and all the spotlight on it.
Yeah, Circa's at 6.5. I actually said if this gets to 7, I think I would take the Colts +7. You think it is going to get to 7, Jeff?
I don't think. I think you might see like 6.5 minus 20 before it gets there. 7 is a pretty big number for the spot.
Jeff Sherman at the Westgate Superbook. Jeff, I was telling Tim Murray that Benihana at the Westgate's my number one ranked restaurant in Las Vegas. You were shocked by that. You can believe I ranked it number one. It is great, though. Tim went there over the weekend. He was amazed. Why do you rank number one if it's not Benihana?
Well, Ed's Steakhouse at the Westgate is that is incredible there if you haven't tried that one. So we've got a couple excellent restaurants to try.
All right. The Benihana is better than the Edge. Okay. It's good. But come on.
Sure.
Come on, Jeff. Just being a company man, promoting your restaurants.
Oh, Benihana's his restaurant, too.
Huh?
I mean, there you go.
I did have the filet mignon at Benihana's. Very, very tender.
That's
well
incredible.
Done. It was very, very well done. Hey, real quickly, before we let you run, the drop-off from Mahomes to Minshew from a point spread standpoint is what?
Well, look at next week. You have Denver laying 5.5 at Kansas City. That thing would have been 2.5-3 on Kansas City. So you're talking over 7 points.
Jeff, appreciate the insight as always, and enjoy the NBA Cup final tonight.
Will do. You guys too. Thanks.
There he is, Jeff Sherman, courtesy of the Progressive.
Little known fact here, the winner of the NBA Cup also gets a comp dinner at Benihana.
You think so?
I don't know. But that would be a great prize.
I agree. Forget the 500 grand. Give me that free dinner at Benihana's, baby. Well, speaking of the NBA Cup final, JVT had some thoughts on what to expect tonight. We'll hear from him, as well as a question regarding last night's game and how it concluded in Pittsburgh.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Tuesday evening, halftime down in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tennessee with a 34-27 lead over Louisville. A best bet from Matt and myself, both on Tennessee. The professor last night at a good number, and some injury news going the way of Tennessee with Louisville and one of their top players being out. Matt?
I believe Aaron Moore took +1 with Tennessee last night, right? And he told me early today that he was probably going to take something back. When that number got up to 4, I think the professor took +4 on the other side. So it's not going to be for the full amount of the bet, though. You might play it back for, I don't know, half as much sometimes.
Right now,
that's a decent middle number.
Well, you could if you are interested in middling it right now. 6.5 is the live number in favor of Tennessee. Do we see the Louisville Cardinals come to life a little bit more here in the second half? So about to get underway down there in Knoxville. We still have a bowl game to come tonight, the Salute to Veterans Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama, as Troy and Jacksonville State will go head-to-head following the conclusion of Tennessee and Louisville. Right now, that bowl game sits with Jacksonville State flipping to a favorite as they are a 3-point favorite. We'll get to some bowl news regarding the status of some quarterbacks and some questions regarding a couple of quarterbacks. Portal, will some go pro? So we'll get to that as the show goes on. Matt, I wanted to mention this. You could always tweet the show. I'm at 1TimMurray. Matt's at MattHumans247. The Gov, a frequent tweeter and regular to VSiN.
I think his name is Chris, right?
Chris on Twitter, goes by The Gov.
Yep.
Said, after listening last night to you anxiously sweat the Pittsburgh-Miami total and then go off air before that last score, I would love to hear you describe your emotional state as they scored, went for two, and then gave you the push with the miss. Well, I've worked with Matt long enough to know that as soon as they scored the touchdown, I didn't even watch the two-point conversion. I just assumed they would get it. So I was pleasantly surprised, I guess, to get the push. But as I have been told, just give up. There's nothing worse than hope.
you know, the two-point conversions did go your way there. The Dolphins went 0-for-2 on two-point conversions. So you got to be thankful when that happens. Sometimes
it was a dropped pass on the second one as well.
Bit of an unlucky push in terms of it even getting up over 40. But at the same time, you can't feel too bad about it because the Dolphins went 0-for-2 on two-point conversions. I described your emotional state in a response to the Gov as highly annoyed and unstable.
Definitely the first. I don't know much. I wouldn't say the latter. I did have to get a post-show drink just to calm things down a little bit. All right. We got the NBA Cup final tonight. The New York Knicks taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Just got some insight from Jeff Sherman. He actually likes the Spurs. He took the Spurs at +3, and he said bettors are taking the Knicks laying the chalk and the Spurs on the money line. So I think the ideal situation would be for at least the Westgate Superbook, Matt, for the Knicks to win by 1 to 2 points. Very tiny little window.
Tight window.
Right?
Tight window you're wishing for tonight if you're the bookmaker in that one. The total, I think, was significant. Jeff said the total was bet up from 228 to 234.5.
Whew. Yeah. Big move there on the total. Neutral site, of course, tonight, Spurs and Knicks T-Mobile Arena. Earlier today, Jonathan Von Tobel talked about the San Antonio Spurs off of their impressive wins over the Lakers and then the Thunder on Saturday night, and if he is upgrading the San Antonio Spurs in his power ratings.
I don't want to upgrade San Antonio too much for an individual game on a neutral against the Knicks, who have been playing some of the best basketball in the NBA outside of a team named the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think it's a little short. To me, at -2.5, it would be a play on the Knicks. Trust me, I'm infatuated with San Antonio. We just talked about this on Pod to the Futures last night. We recorded our episode, should be up today, about how I'm kind of not afraid anymore, right? And I think this is an old reference, right? I'm not afraid anymore. What is that, Home Alone? I'm not afraid to show my love for San Antonio, but I don't want to freak out too much over a result in a neutral court in which the Thunder shot less than 30%. So give me the Knicks.
Did he just refer to a movie that came out in the early 90s? That's impressive. I'm impressed.
It's impressive until you consider the movie was Home Alone. And all those guys are chucking.
It's also a cult classic. So
it is?
Yeah. Holiday season. You don't live in the holiday world, Matt. Yes. A lot of people, if you've got kids watching Home Alone. My kid actually dressed up as Kevin McAllister today to go to school. They had a dress up as your favorite.
Is that Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
Is he in that movie?
And that's who said, I'm not afraid anymore. And then he saw the guy shoveling, and he ran away.
If you want to make references to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, I would get all of those for sure.
You serious, Clark? All right, so he does like the Knicks a little bit. Let's hear from Kelly Bidlin, as we heard, regarding the minutes restriction on Victor Wembanyama tonight. He gave some thoughts earlier today on a numbers game.
How many minutes is Victor Wembanyama going to play? I would expect an increase from last game, Zach. I don't know if you have a better read on this than me. I would expect an increase, but I don't think it's going to be drastic. I do think the Spurs team is, and even just listening to Mitch Johnson the other night, like, they're very aware of what he means for the long term. And while this would be a great thing to win and go out there and say that you accomplished early in your career, I don't think they're willing to push it too hard with him.
Interesting comments there from the Red Baron, Kelly Bidlin, co-host of a numbers game.
That was actually from Hardwood Handicappers, the podcast.
That was.
Zach Cohen and Kelly, a
all
frequent guest.
All sorts of great content all over the VSIN platforms there.
Got it.
Pod to the Futures, Hardwood Handicappers. The variety of shows we have throughout the day. You mentioned this earlier, Victor Wembanyama playing off the bench tonight. Not that that's a big factor when you handicap it, but the minutes restriction that Kelly referred to there is going to be a factor.
Played 21 minutes, Matt, in the win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Not too shabby. 22 points in 21 minutes against the Thunder on Saturday night. So we will see, but the expectation from Kelly and others, do not expect this number to rise too much because of the gravitas of the NBA Cup final between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the New York Knicks.
It's a big deal. What channel is that on tonight?
Amazon.
We're going to have that in the studio?
We will have it on because we always have the Thursday night game, so we will have it on here. I would say this, Matt. It's a live betting show. I am going to – I do like the Knicks, but I'm going to see if we can get maybe a plus money price.
Yeah, when you
Knicks.
Have a low number like this, an NBA game, you're going to have swings both ways throughout the game. I am not going to bet a pregame, but while we're here tonight, we might be able to fire a live bet if we see something we like here.
So the lone game on the NBA calendar tonight happening in our backyard, T-Mobile Arena, the Knicks-Spurs NBA Cup Final. Right now, Knicks a 2.5-point favorite, and as Jeff Sherman let us know, this total has been bet up from 228 all the way up to 233.5, and I believe, Matt, if I look over my shoulder right now, 234 here at Circa for this one. So the highest total out there in the market is here at Circa between the Spurs and the Knicks.
Jeff Sherman, I believe, was leaving work. I don't think he was going to go to the game on the Strip tonight, but it's interesting, Jeff threw in there that he has missed only 2 days of work in his 30 years as a full-time employee. That's pretty impressive.
That's a pretty good stretch. Is that Cal Ripken-esque?
No Kevin Costner.
I was waiting for that. I set you up for that one. I knew the Kevin Costner reference would come out.
I knew that's why you set it up too. That's one of my favorite stories.
It was a magical
one of my favorite stories.
Matt, what how'd the lights not? The lights didn't turn on that night.
It's just bizarre.
What a coinky dink.
Happenstance.
What a coinky
dink. Tim, who knows? There was no mystery behind what happened that night. The lights just happened to go out.
Matt, we do have a game coming up in college basketball, bottom of the hour. UConn and Butler, you referred to this game last night. Right now, FanDuel has this game still at 14.5. You're starting to see some 15s show out there in the market. Is this a good spot to lay the chalk with UConn at home?
I don't lay numbers like this, and I did not lay this one either. But I want no part of Butler in this game because you're coming off a double overtime game, and I watched a lot of that game Saturday, 113-110 against Providence. This is not going to be a good spot to back Butler on the road. And also, I think UConn is starting to get healthy, and you're starting to see UConn at full strength. You got Braylon Mullins, the freshman guard, who was a top prep player in Indiana last year. He's now healthy, playing minutes. You got Terrace Reed back on the floor. So you're getting UConn at full strength. So Butler not catching UConn at the right time, really. And UConn catching Butler at a pretty good time with the Bulldogs coming off that double overtime marathon game at Hinkle Fieldhouse over the weekend. So the number is 14.5 at a couple spots out there, mostly 15. It's going to be a pass for me, but I would lay the 15 if I did anything with that game.
Also worth noting from a player personnel standpoint, no Darren Peterson tonight for Kansas.
Hamstring injury.
As they take on Towson. The Towson Tigers in that one. So
he's Peterson, the star freshman for the Jayhawks, has had this hamstring issue. It's lingering. He's played in only four games this season. I'm pretty sure Bill Self's is hoping got to get him back for conference play in January.
You got two non-conference games, Christmas, and then not a Big 12 game, Matt, until January 3rd. I'm going to go on a limb and say we're not going to see Mr. Peterson until the new year. Quick updates from Tennessee and Louisville on the other side, as well as some thoughts on the first round of the college football playoff. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Matt, breaking news. You're sitting down. It's a good thing. You're never going to believe it. Jeremiah Love is going to the NFL. I am stunned as a Notre Dame fan. I am outraged, almost as outraged as I am them sitting out the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Ridiculous.
I thought.
What is he going to do in the pros, Matt?
He's going to be really good.
He's going to be really, really good.
But he should not be a top 10 draft pick necessarily. I think you kind of learned that lesson with Ashton Jeanty once again.
He's better than Ashton Jeanty.
I believe he is, too. But at the same time, I do not advocate for taking running backs in the top 10.
I would also agree with that. If you're picking in the top 10, you probably aren't picking in a luxury spot. So as we've learned with the Oakland Raiders, but he will assuredly, barring something happening from now till April, be the first running back selected. And Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame headed to the NFL, the no surprise there, as he has made it official. He will be headed to the NFL. We'll talk some college football here in just a moment. Quick update from Knoxville, Tennessee. The Tennessee Volunteers with a 47-36 lead right now over Louisville. In this one, they went off as around 4.5-point favorites in this contest, just connected on a big three. Tennessee has not really been shooting all that well, except for Jacoby Gillespie. Jacoby Gillespie is 3-for-5 from long range in this game, and it is now 50-38 as Tennessee gonna can another three here. So up a dozen are the Tennessee Volunteers.
Jacoby Gillespie is a guy I thought was gonna have to carry the balls tonight, and he did when they beat Houston on November 25th with the 22-point game. So we know how good Gillespie is. A lot of nights you're gonna wonder how much scoring help is he gonna get. And Nate Ament, the 6'10 freshman, is another guy who's going to be a star for Tennessee. But it's a typical story with the Vols. By the way, they bury another three here to go up 53-38. Tennessee, really good defensively, inconsistent on the offensive end of the floor. Louisville comes into tonight's game number 2 in KenPom in offensive efficiency, but without a key player.
Yeah, so they are, of course, tonight without one of their top players in Mykael Brown, out with a back injury, and it is a 15-point lead. We talk about spots so much in college basketball, and this was certainly a good spot to buy the Tennessee Volunteers off of 3 straight losses, pointed out last night by our guy, the professor, Aaron Moore, on the program. You and I followed suit. You gave it out this morning on the morning show as well here on VSiN. Matt, we've
you
got...
what, Tim?
Yeah.
The screen was lighting up, and I thought, you know what? I am going to play UConn just for a small bet tonight, about a quarter unit bet. So I call up the app, I punch it in, hit play. The game has already started. Bet denied. I was 2 seconds late. 2 seconds late in getting the bet in. So now I'm going to have to live bet this game. I can't believe I waited 2 seconds too long to get in the bet on UConn minus 15.
UConn closes here at Circa as a 15-point favorite, 15.5 at some other spots. That game underway, a Peacock game that is UConn and Butler tonight. A game that'll be on Amazon Prime just down the road, T-Mobile Arena. It is the Spurs taking on the New York Knicks in the NBA Cup Final. We heard from JVT already on not upgrading this San Antonio Spurs team based off of their past performances, beating the Lakers and then following up with a win on the against the Thunder on Saturday. What does JVT think of this New York Knicks team as they take the floor tonight?
If you look over the last couple of weeks, we'll go just to about the middle of November or whatnot, but this is one of the best offenses in the NBA at this point right now for New York. They're outscoring opponents by 16.3 points every 100 possessions over the course of their last 10 games. They have the second best offense in the NBA at 127.9 per 100 possessions, and the fifth best defense. Like, Brown's doing a really good job with this team. It's a very much more, if you're talking about the offense, it's a lot more ball movement. They're moving it around. There's not just, hey, Jalen Brunson, go pound the ball into the wood and save us on every single possession. So you really like the way that this offense is humming along here at this point right now. And if you look at spread differential, Knicks, guys, over these 10 games that I'm talking about and over the season, one of the best, but specifically their last 10, they're second in spread differential. They're covering by about 7.5 points per game. They've been very, very good.
Good clip there from JVT. Spits out all the numbers and makes a really good case for this efficient Knicks offense. I like what he said, too, about Jalen Brunson not pounding the ball into the wood, because a lot of times when the Knicks were not that efficient offensively, it's just one guy dribbling around. You see it with the Clippers and James Harden all the time. It just makes you sick. You know, it's one guy dribbling around trying to get his own shot. That's not how you need to play offensive basketball.
Over at VSiN.com, our betting splits courtesy of DraftKings and Circa. At DraftKings, Matt, 55% of bets on the Knicks, minus 2.5, 65% of the handle, and then money line, 55% of the bets on the Spurs, but split right down the middle, 50-50 on the money line. Kind of goes in line with what Jeff Sherman was saying at the Westgate Superbook, where they were seeing Spurs money on the money line and Knicks money on the spread. And not that surprising. When you see a short number like this, people are going to lay it with the short favorite and take the money line for a little plus money as well. Here at Circa, Matt, over at vsin.com, 50-50 split on how this game is being bet as well. So there's the latest in this game, moments away from tipping off. We will keep our eyes on it. It is our VSiN primetime game of the night. We also have eyes on Tennessee taking on Louisville. Both Matt and I have a bet on the Tennessee Volunteers. Still to come tonight, Matt, a bowl game the Salute to Veterans Bowl as the Troy Trojans take on the Jacksonville State Gamecocks, as this game will take place at the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. Jacksonville State, a three-point favorite at most shops, juiced up at a lot of spots. Even FanDuel showing a 3.5 on this game here at Circa is 3 -15. You know, I asked you this question, Matt, on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast last Thursday, and you and I will be back this Thursday to talk the four playoff games. How have you gone about betting this bowl season, and how different is it for you this year, maybe as opposed to others?
I think it's it is different because, you know, we got last year we benefited from the opt-outs and some of the some of the news leaks, right, about players who are going to play or players who are going to sit out. But we also got burned by some. You can win some, lose some in terms of the bowl bets you're going to make when you take leads on games. You think you got good information. Sometimes you do have good information. You still don't win.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened to us, obviously, in college basketball occasionally as well. When you get some info that a player's going to be out, you bet against them, yeah, it backfires. But sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. I just think with the bowl season, there's so many more questions now, so much more uncertainty, and I'm just not as enthusiastic about the bowl season in general, Tim. I've always loved the college football bowl season, but it's just not the same at this point. You got so many players sitting out. You got coaching change. I mean, it's insane that we got a coach leaving his team before the playoffs.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And, you know, like you and I have been talking about Drew Mestemaker, the quarterback at North Texas. I've had zero expectation that he's going to play for that team in the bowl game, right?
Well,
and maybe he still will. You got some news about that today, but we expect he's going to transfer to Oklahoma State and follow his coach to Stillwater, right?
So Pete Nakos of 24/7 Sports, I believe, was the first to report that Drew Mestemaker is expected to be head into the portal. Now, what is interesting, there was another report, I believe, from Chris Hummer from CBS Sports that said the decision to enter the portal will not be made until after the bowl game. So North Texas, for those who are wondering, is playing in the New Mexico Bowl on December 27th against San Diego State. And to me, this is one of the more curious bowl games of the season because you have two pretty good teams, right? You have North Texas, who is the runner-up in the American, and you have San Diego State, who finished in a four-way tie for first place in the Mountain West but didn't make it to the championship game based off a tiebreaker. So you got a really good defensive team in San Diego State, who, by the way, is losing their defensive coordinator. He's going to Nebraska, so he won't be there for the bowl game. And then you've got North Texas. Eric Morris, as you mentioned, their head coach has already left. He's the now head coach of Oklahoma State.
Great hire, by the way.
I agree.
You know, if you're ranking hires in college football, I rank that one near the top. I think Oklahoma State was in a really desperate situation. I think they got a great guy.
A young, up-and-coming quarter
innovative coach, offensive coach.
Was Cam Ward's head coach at Incarnate Word. They went together to Washington State for that one season. He was the OC there, got the job at North Texas. So my question would be this, and we can carry this over to the other side a little bit. We'll talk some playoff games as well. Drew Mestemaker, if you are betting that game, and I have bet it. I took a little 3.5 with San Diego State. It's a educated guess that he doesn't play in the game. Now, if he does play in the game, that's part of betting bowl season. Uh-huh. And I still think San Diego State, Matt, could win the game.
There's got to be somebody out there who's plugged into North Texas or Mestemaker who knows if he's going to play in this game or not. Yeah, somebody's got to have some information on it.
Maybe he hasn't made up his mind yet.
So if you don't know much about Drew Mestemaker, he led Division One in passing yards this season. He's a very significant player in this game. 4,129 passing yards, number one in college football. So it's pretty important to know whether he's going to play in the game.
And you would imagine, Matt, that a bulk of the productive players on this roster will be hitting the portal. But do they feel like they should play one more game together at North Texas?
Why?
We don't know that answer.
I was surprised to see Washington put some star players out there in the field in the L.A. Bowl on Saturday night.
Yono Coleman, Denzel Boston all played in that game.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
NBA Cup Final underway here in Las Vegas as Karl Anthony Towns buries a three, and we are underway at T-Mobile Arena. The Louisville Cardinals struggling mightily without Mychal Brown in their game against Tennessee, which is just fine with the two of us, as Tennessee right now has a commanding 59-44 lead with 11:23 to go in that one. UConn and Butler just underway in stores, and that game currently 11 apiece with 13 minutes to go.
Maybe
and
I can get a discount.
I was
going
to say, maybe, Matt, this is the time to look at old UConn from a live betting standpoint. So that game on NBC Sports Network, it's back, baby. NBCSN.
What channel is that on DirecTV?
I don't know. Someone listening, let us know what channel NBC Sports Network is. But
Butler's got the lead. UConn's down to minus 12 and a half. How about that?
All right, there you go, Matt. Sometimes it works out in your favor if you can't get that bet in right before the start of the game, as the Butler Bulldogs 13-11 lead. And here at DraftKings, not here, but at DraftKings, it is sitting at 13. 13 and a half is the live number. Did you get your bet in?
I'm trying to lay 12 and a half. This is error, invalid number. Now the odds have changed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are looking live at someone trying to live bet right now as Matt is trying to get in on Butler.
Come on.
No cursing. Remember, we got
it. I didn't curse. I said, come on.
I know. I could sense the agitation, though. I don't want you to get all frustrated there.
Trying to get in at minus 12 and a half, minus 111 is the bet I'm trying to make here.
By the way, there's something going on down in the triangle tonight. We talked about Duke. Duke did ultimately win, did not cover against Lipscomb. It was a Lipscomb lead early in the second half. At one point, Lipscomb had a 10-point lead. And right now, UNC has just increased their lead to 4, but taking on East Tennessee State, the Tar Heels, not all that impressive in this one so far tonight, Matt, as North Carolina, as they went off as 17-point favorites, up just 4 with 3 minutes to go in that one, UNC and East Tennessee State. So once again, NBA Cup, you're in?
Minus 12 and a half, minus 111.
All right.
Only took 7 attempts of typing that in to get the bet to go through.
You know what they say, Matt? The 7th time is the charm.
That's patience is a virtue.
That is all. They also say
I'm not a very patient person. And sometimes when you're trying to get those bets in, it's amazing how it won't take it, and then it spins and it offers you a worse number. Amazing. I'd have it. Never offers you a better number.
The wheel of death. The wheel of death out there. 15-point lead for Tennessee, so hopefully for our sake, Matt, they hold on to said advantage, and we're able to get an early winner. Brian Edwards, by the way, did like Dayton tonight. Unfortunately, before we had B. Edwards on the show, the game had started, but I will let you know it was a looks to be a winner as Dayton is dominating Florida State 71-49 midway through the second
Brian
half.
Edwards is a Florida Gator diehard, a graduate of the great school in Gainesville. He loves to fade Florida State. You know, he's going to lose his quarterback, DJ Lagway, in the transfer portal. Not that Florida was in contention for a bowl, but DJ Lagway is likely going to end up at Miami?
LSU?
Or LSU. I think LSU is going to get Chambliss, a quarterback from Ole Miss, right? So you're not going to get them both. You're going to get one or the other.
Yeah.
Don't you think Lane Kiffin's going to get his quarterback?
Does Chambliss have eligibility?
I think he does have 1 year
does
left.
Does he? Okay, because I know he played a number of years at Ferris State, the D2 power. But, yeah, there's a handful of notable quarterbacks. Another one, Sam Levitt. He is in the transfer portal, Arizona State's quarterback. DJ Lagway, you mentioned. Brendan Sorsby, the Cincinnati quarterback. Mm-hmm. He is in the transfer portal per 247. They rank him the top quarterback available right now in the quarterback in the portal. Caden Hauser from East Carolina has opted out. And this was an interesting move today in the betting market, Matt. So go to December 31st. Duke is playing Arizona State in the Sun Bowl in El Paso. By the way, gorgeous stadium. You ever been to the Sun Bowl?
Of course I've been there. Been to 2 Sun Bowls. I told you that one night after the game, I went across the border to Juarez, Mexico, and I was actually lucky to make it back alive. And someday I'll tell you the story.
That'll be for the post-show podcast. We will give that to you guys.
My pro tip is going to be, Don't go to Juarez, and don't stay all night if you do.
I did not. My one visit, I listened to that pro tip and did not venture there. But Darian Mensah, the quarterback at Duke, who reportedly signed a two-year deal with the Duke Blue Devils when he transferred from Tulane, now getting some buzz that, well, based off of this draft class, he could be one of the highest quarterbacks selected, man.
Nah, I'm not going there.
Well, I'm just
stating
what has been reported right now. So he is weighing his options right now, whether or not to play in this game. The reports that are out there, Matt, it's either he will return to Duke or he will go pro. And when you look at the quarterbacks in this draft class, we know Arch Manning is not coming out. Is Dante Moore going to come out from Oregon? Mm-hmm. Fernando Mendoza, I would say, is almost a foregone conclusion. He will come out and maybe could be the number one overall pick, but is not a very robust draft class at the quarterback position. Does Ty Simpson come out? Well, hasn't been playing all that well lately.
Seriously, you have to, if you're an NFL talent evaluator, you got to take a step back and say, all right, how does it do us any good to get in a desperate situation where we're drafting a guy like Ty Simpson or Darian Mensah? Tim, those guys are nowhere near ready to be winners in the NFL. You watched them all season. Do you think Ty Simpson or Darian Mensah is going to step in and really help an NFL team? No.
Ty Simpson's highs are okay, but, I mean, right now he's banged up, that's for sure. By the way, quick update from the NBA Cup. The Spurs, a five-point lead with 6:32 to go in the first quarter.
Arch Manning doing a really smart thing, but he's in a position where he doesn't need the money.
Well, a lot of these quarterbacks, too, are making pretty damn good money.
And you can stay in school and make more money. And so, in many cases now, so Arch Manning's got the best of it all. He needs to stay at Texas for one more year and get a lot better. He's not ready to help an NFL team.
We know Lenore Sellers is going back to college. He's going back to South Carolina.
He needs to go back to
school,
too.
That's the right move. Yeah. Maybe Dante Moore, if he makes a run with Oregon, maybe that is a situation where his stock rises. He's a redshirt sophomore.
I think he should go out. I do. Because, this, like you just said, this draft class is so weak. If Dante Moore plays well in the playoffs, his stock's going to shoot up and he should go.
John Mateer, I mean, come on. What are we doing here? He's on some lists. I don't see it. Carson Beck, like he has no eligibility left, so he'll be available. That's the thing, man. If you're a quarterback needy team right now, Matt, if you're the Las Vegas Raiders, what are you looking at right now from the quarterback position?
Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
So I think Mendoza and Moore are going to be the top two quarterbacks. I think that's become pretty obvious at this point. And the Raiders are going to have the number one, two, or three pick. If they really screwed this up down the stretch, they could have the number three pick.
Reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening. Podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. Visit vsin.com/advertise or email us at advertising@vsin.com. 8:50 to go, second half down in Knoxville. 60-46 is the score. The Tennessee Volunteers have increased said lead to 17, Matt. They're up 63-46 right now.
I never did play for a middle here with the Tennessee minus -1.5 bet, -1.5 bet in pocket. Right now you could grab Louisville plus 15.5, but don't really need to. And the way this game is going, it looks like Tennessee is going to win big. Plus 15.5, -105, a bit tempting. But the -1.5 you have in your pocket obviously looks like a winner.
That's always the question, too. And I used to talk about this when Mike Palm would be in here. We used to call it monetizing with Mike. And, you know, do you take that other side or do you sit back and you say, I've got a winner in pocket right now? You know, you and I thought last night, we had a winner in pocket with a total. We probably
forgot all about that.
Probably
what
should,
happened last night. What was that?
The total didn't get there for you, but you had the Steelers, so you were good. You had a bigger bet on the Steelers. Knicks are an underdog right now, Matt. Do you look to take the Knicks? 5 minutes into this game, they're down 5, and they're an underdog now.
I am not looking to take the Knicks right now, but if you did not take the Knicks pregame and you liked him, you could be looking that direction because you could get Knicks just as we're saying this, Knicks hit a three to make it 17-15. Now they're back to being the favorite, so forget it.
God bless the NBA. Hey, the college football playoffs kick off this Friday. VSiN's got the guide you need to bet the postseason with confidence. You can get it for $14.99, or if you upgrade to VSiN Pro, you get the guide included. VSiN.com/CFP.